4, 3, 2, 1, begin transmission.
Oh, who's a good kitty? All right, this is on, Pippa. We got to talk now. It is 1930 UTC, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. My name is Tobe. I am the chairman of this committee, and I say that we should begin. Shouldn't we, Pippa? Yes, we should. I'm sitting here with Pippa on my lap, on the blankie, and she's just getting settled in. She's licking the blanket a little bit. Is it good? And she's getting ready to start trying to drive her claws into my ankles and lower legs. But she will be unsuccessful due to the layers of blanket protecting my legs. Isn't that right, Peppa? Oh yeah, such a good kitty. Oh, you better move, better change positions. Okay, there you go. That's better. And here she goes, shoving her face down into the blanket. Oh, yesterday. Yesterday was both great and annoying. If you listened to yesterday's show, you'll remember that the painters showed up to paint my back door, which I'm sitting all of, 3 meters away from. And to paint the back door, we had to open the door because they got to paint the inside of the door jamb and everything, right? And then the door has to stay open while the paint dries. Otherwise, the paint will just glue the door shut. So, yeah. I had to deal with an open door and my cat Pippa, who she thinks, see, she thinks that her job is to escape and get out into the backyard and play in the backyard because the backyard is so fun. The backyard is where all the birdies are and the squirrels and the baby bunnies and all the stuff that's fun to chase around and lots of leaves to sniff, huh, Peppa? Yeah, so my cat was trying to escape. And then to make things worse, I had to go out to lunch. I went to Abelardo's. And so I had to close the door as far as I could and then block the gap with bags of cat food and stuff so the cat couldn't get out. But somebody was trying to open the door. I got home and I found a certain kitty with her paw in the gap trying to pull the door open so she could escape. Yeah, you were trying to escape, huh, Dingins? Somebody was trying to escape. Yeah, you're not escape, kitty. You are taking naps, kitty. That's what you like to do. Yeah, taking naps is so fun. So that's what I did all day. The door is still open, actually. I don't know when I'm going to be able to close that. But anyway, here I am sitting here talking. And I might be getting sick. I might be catching a cold or something because I got a weird tickle in my throat and it's kind of annoying and it makes me cough every once in a while, more than usual, more than my normal sort of post-nasal drip problem. I think I've caught something and I'm not happy about it. Not happy about it one bit. Am I, Pippa? Yeah, I'm not a hab camper. Oh, what's this? You got schmutz on your face. Okay, get that off there. Oh, but last night, Pippa did find a cricket. He found a little cricket, huh? Because the back door is open, the bugs are just, coming in the back door. Flies, and apparently a cricket got in. And it made its way over to the side of the washing machine. And that's when she noticed it. She started batting at it. And I think crickets are Pippa's favorite bug because they don't do anything. they sit there, you know, they move a little bit, and she notices this, and so she goes up to them, and then the bugs, you know, freeze. They stay still until she bats at them. Then they jump, and that's super exciting. Whoa, we got to chase it now. And she was chasing it towards me. I was just sitting right here. She found that bug 2 meters over there and started hopping towards me, and I had to catch it and take it back outside. And then she was wondering, hey, where'd that thing go? Oh, it was funny. Oh, I wonder if I can close the door today. The great thing about this is it's been facing the sun. It's on the side of the building where the sun rises in the summer, so it's been being blasted by brutally hot sun waves. I bet you didn't know the sun produced waves. Yes, it did. Good tea. Good tea. A little too sweet, though. I need to water that down or something. So, I don't know. Maybe when the sun passes overhead, I'll close the door. It's got to be dried by now. I don't know. I don't know nothing about house paint. I know nothing. Oh. I had fun last night. Also watching footy. Australian rules football. It was Carlton versus the Hawthorn Hawks. And the Hawthorn Hawks doubled on them. It was a blowout. After the first quarter, it was like 37-0. The game finished with Hawthorn having double the points of Carlton. I think it was like 112-52, the final score. And that was fun. I also watched some rugby sevens last night, and there's more rugby sevens on today, I think. And there's some racing on today. I gotta watch some racing. And what else do I gotta do today? Oh, wait, I was gonna go to the other store, but I can't go to the other store. Yeah, I'll do that later. Do that tomorrow. Whew. What else have I been doing? Well, I'll tell you. I had a strange idea last night. Not ultimately strange, but just kind of bizarre. An item I would like to see. Here's something that doesn't exist, but I would like to see it just because it's funny. All right, where do I start, though? Basically, kind of talking about miniature heavy equipment here, sort of. This is an odd one. How did I even come up with this idea? I don't know. But here's what I was thinking. Tractors. Everybody has seen a tractor. Everybody knows what tractors are. And everybody has seen riding lawnmowers. Riding lawnmowers are sometimes known as lawn tractors, right? Have you heard this? Yeah, this might be a regional thing in the United States, whether or not you call your riding lawnmower a riding lawnmower or a lawn tractor. But these exist. And a lawn tractor is just basically a miniature regular tractor, you know, a farm tractor. And so, essentially, we have miniature heavy machinery in the sense that a lawn tractor is the miniature version of a farm tractor. Follow me? Of course you do. We also have smaller versions of things like front loaders and backhoes. And bulldozers, for that matter. There's a small version of bulldozers. You can put a snowplow blade on like an ATV and turn it into a miniature bulldozer for moving snow. Not much else, but, you know. And there are small backhoes. There are small backhoes that you can sort of stand on a platform and operate, and they're like 2 gallon buckets. You know, they're really small backhoes. And if you've ever seen a Bobcat brand skid loader or skid steer, you can put all kinds of accessories on the fronts of those. You can make them front loaders. You can make them backhoes. Other companies make tiny little backhoes. So, needless to say, miniature heavy equipment exists. We have lawn tractors. We've got, you know, little front loaders, front end loaders. We got little backhoes. And where am I going with this? It's kind of a long build-up for something stupid. But isn't this what I'm all about? Oh, yeah. What's a Tobe thing? So I was thinking of something else. If a lawn tractor is a miniature version of a farm tractor, doesn't this sort of imply that we need to have miniature combines? You know what I'm saying? Okay, first of all, if you don't know what a combine is, a combine is a combination harvester. We just call them combines for short. And these are really, really big machines that are operated by one person. And these are the machines that are used to harvest crops. Now, I live in Nebraska, where the main crop is corn. And combines are the machines that harvest the corn. And they are called combines because they do a combination of things. They pick the corn, they husk the corn, and they shell the corn, meaning that when you drive a combine through a cornfield, it chops down all the stalks and it separates the ears, the corn, from the stalks. Then it takes the husks off the ears, and then it strips the corn kernels off of the cob. And then there's usually a wagon that drives next to the combine, and the combine shoots the kernels of corn into the grain truck, into the wagon, into the grain wagon. And the wagon takes the grain off to the grain silo. And that's what a combine does. If you're from the city, you might not have ever seen a combine. I am from the city, but I live in Nebraska, and you don't have to go far anywhere in Nebraska or Iowa to see a combine. I mean, you can be anywhere in the state of Nebraska or Iowa, and you don't have to drive 10 minutes to see a combine. And when I say drive 10 minutes to see a combine, I mean to see one in action, to see one working. Now, a combine is therefore a very large machine because, you know, it does like 4 or 5 things, and it's a big machine. And the cool thing about combines is you can use them to harvest different crops, wheat and soybeans and oats and all kinds of grains. And all you got to do is change, you know, the front end thing. There's a little thing on the front of the combine that basically scoops up or cuts the grain. And this is different for, you know, different kinds of grains. But generally speaking, a combine is a combine. And when a combine is so big, and when it's got the harvesting corn thing on the front, I don't know what it's called. I don't actually live on a farm. I do live in a city. But, you know, your average combine, when it harvests corn, a combine can vary a little bit, because combines are technically different sizes, and you can put different size stuff on the front. But generally speaking, a combine is going to harvest, maybe 20 or two dozen rows of corn at a time. Corn is grown in rows, okay, and these rows are 18 inches apart, and each plant is 18 inches apart. This is the optimum distance for growing corn. Why do I know so much about growing corn? I'm not a farmer. But, dude, I'm telling you, when you live in Nebraska, you know more about growing corn than the average person. Just, you know, by default, you can't help but learn these things. Just like every child in Nebraska knows that you always follow Roundup with Prowl. Just because they used to advertise during children's shows and cartoons on weekend mornings. I'm starting to lose my voice already. So back to combines and tractors and lawn tractors. Now you can see where I'm going with this. If a lawn tractor is just a miniature farm tractor, shouldn't we have miniature combines? Okay, you know, think about this for a minute. You know, a lawn tractor, generally speaking, it can mow a path about 36 inches wide. Or about 1 meter wide. Whereas, you know, a farm tractor can mow about 3 meters wide. Maybe more, depending on the size of the tractor. And there are some big ones out there. And, you know, also depending on the size of the mower deck. Yes, I know what a mower deck is. I know way too much about tractors. It's weird. So I'm thinking, why aren't there any miniature combines? You know, imagine a combine that is small, but still big enough that you can ride on it. Not necessarily in it. You know, on a full-size combine, it has a big cab, like a truck cab. And you sit in there, and it's usually, on new ones, it's air-conditioned. There's a good stereo. The inside of a combine is very nice and very comfortable. And it needs to be, because people who drive combines do it for about 18 to 20 hours a day. Okay, we won't go into the usage of combines, but combines are really nice to drive. Real comfortable seat, you know, stereo, air conditioning, like I said, all kinds of stuff. But if you're going to build a miniature combine, you know, just, it wouldn't have to have a cab. You wouldn't have to get into it. It would be like, you know, a lawn tractor where it just has a seat. And it's little, what is that thing called? The little harvesting thing in front. You know, maybe, you know, a regular combine can probably harvest like two dozen rows of corn at once. I'm thinking in like a lawn combine, maybe it only harvests one row at once or two. Or maybe three, because you could get, if you had a 36-inch lawn combine, lawn combine, that's funny. You know, if you're not from a agricultural state, that's not funny to you, but if you live in Iowa or Indiana, even Ohio, Kansas, you're going to think that's funny. If you live in the Corn Belt, you know good comedy. So I'm thinking, you know, lawn combine, 36-inch lawn combine could nominally do three rows of corn at once. You could have a 24-inch lawn combine and it would harvest two rows. Now, you might think, well, this is totally worthless, because if you were in a giant cornfield, it would just take you 10 times or more longer to harvest the field. But there you go. See, this is what I'm talking about. A lawn combine wouldn't be for a regular cornfield. You'd use a regular combine for that. Lawn combines would be for the people here in town who have a small plot of ground and they're they're growing in their garden like 60 corn plants. This is for home use, residential use, the lawn combine. And I've got people, how far away are those people? Not even a mile. I've got some people, well, a little bit more than a mile. Call it 2 kilometers. 2 kilometers away are some people, they've got an extra lot. And they've got a big, big garden. Well, it's not that big. Half an acre, maybe. And they've got a few rows of corn. These are the kind of people who need a lawn combine. Although this is totally useless now that I think about it, because people who grow corn in their gardens do not need to harvest it and de-shell it, because they're not selling it as corn kernels. They're usually not even selling their corn. It's for personal use. And here in Nebraska, the Cornhusker state, we like to husk corn. And not only do we like to husk corn, we also like to eat corn. And when I say we like to eat corn, I mean corn on the cob. Yeah, in Nebraska, you're not going to see anybody cutting kernels off of a corn cob. Well, you might. You know, for old people who have dentures and can't eat corn on the cob very well. Even small children. You've never seen anything funnier than like a 3-year-old child try to eat corn on the cob. And most of it gets on their face. It's hilarious. You get kids with butter all over their faces, right? This corn on the cob is really good. It's insanely good. And so people who grow corn in their gardens, you know, they don't need to shell it, meaning take the kernels off the cob, because this isn't going towards, you know, feedstocks for cattle or any livestock. This is for themselves. So I don't know, maybe my lawn combine idea isn't that great after all. You got to understand that a stalk of corn only grows about 2 ears of corn. An ear of corn being the cob with the corn on it wrapped up in husks, right? I don't know how much you people know about corn. There might be somebody out there saying, this is very educational and interesting listening to Tobe today. I've learned so much about corn. Corn is very important in Nebraska. I live in Nebraska. Corn is our thing. We named our football team after corn. We eat a lot of corn here. We grow a lot of corn here. Corn. Oh, and if you're in a different country, if you're not in America, you need to realize that when I say corn, I do mean maize. I do know that in England, the word corn is used to refer to wheat. And that's okay, because the word corn actually means any small, hard-like nugget, any like small pebble-like grain. That's what a corn means. Corned beef has nothing to do with what we think of as corn. It has to do with being rubbed with rock salt. Each little chunk of rock salt is a corn, right? That's what the word corn actually means. So if you live in a different country and you're confused when I use the word corn, I do mean maize. And we are crazy for it here in Nebraska. I even bank at the corn bank. The corn bank is First National of Omaha, and all of its money is corn money. So me and a few of my friends refer to it as the corn bank. Not to be confused with corn banks, because there's a different thing called a corn bank. And these are basically seed banks, repositories for the genetic material of different strains of corn. Yes, there are different strains of corn. There are different cultivars of corn. And there's so many, it's ridiculous. And you hear people whining about GMO. You know, we don't need to genetically modify corn, although we should, because there are so many cultivars to begin with. We are already modifying corn just by breeding it. We are already genetically modifying it that we don't have to go in and mess with its DNA. But if you're one of those people who are afraid of genetically modified organisms, don't be, because we've been genetically modifying plants since day one. The plant that we call corn or maize didn't exist in the form that it is in today. It has never, that's not a wild plant. The original corn plant is barely any different than some of the grasses that you know. So whenever you hear anybody complaining or expressing their fears of genetic modification, they're idiots, because we've been genetically modifying everything around us forever. Cows. There was never a wild cow. That is an animal that was bred to be what it is. Look at breeds of dogs, breeds of cats. These never appeared in the wild. These are all things that we genetically modified through breeding. But I don't want to go into that. I don't feel like butting my head up against human stupidity. I'd rather butt my head up against wondering why John Deere doesn't make a lawn combine. John Deere. In America, you're probably familiar with the brand John Deere. John Deere makes lawn equipment. I mean, farm equipment. And they do make combines. And I would say that, at least in Nebraska, the combines you're going to see the most are all going to be John Deere's. And they're all going to be 9000 series. And my favorite John Deere combine is probably the 9550. You have a favorite combine? Well, I don't know that much about them. But back when I was the copier and fax repairman, you know, my territory was all of southwest Iowa. And I would go to, you know, grain elevators and farm equipment dealers. And, you know, being a city boy, I would just ask them questions about stuff. And they were entertained as hell. They're like, oh, here's some city dork wants to know about combines. We'll tell them all about combines, because that's how it works in Nebraska. If you want somebody to explain to you how a combine works, just find any farmer in Nebraska. They'll be happy to tell you. And then they will try to talk you into working for them. Oh, you want to learn the combine? Yeah, come work for me. I'll give you $8 an hour to drive a combine for a day. Lawn combines. That's just funny to me. Harvesting corn is serious business. Not every farmer has a combine. They're extremely expensive. And when I say extremely expensive, you know, we're talking $250,000. You know, you can buy a Lamborghini. You can buy a couple Lamborghinis for what a combine costs. And so there are companies that have combines, and they just sort of tour around and harvest farmers' crops for them. You know, they take a percentage, and that's a hell of a job. That's a hell of a job. Combines aren't fast, so to get them from one point to another takes a long time. Although combines do have speed gears. You can install a speed gear in a combine, so it'll go a little bit faster on the road, but you're never going to get a combine above about 30 miles an hour. We do not race combines in Nebraska. And as much as I'd like to go into an entire new rant about racing combines, it's time for me to go. My cat's sitting over here going, meow, meow, what are you doing, Pippa? You can't go outside. And Pippa, you have been listening to the Dubious Lawn Combine Committee, a show that airs every day at 1930 UTC. I gotta go. Bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.